You're listening to the Whole Vineyard Podcast. To find out more about the Whole Vineyard Church, go to wholevineyard.co.uk.
Well, good morning, everyone. God is just doing remarkable things in our community, and we absolutely love hearing the stories of how God is working in you and people bringing family and friends, maybe for the first time, to church. And it's just absolutely wonderful what the Holy Spirit is doing. And we just come off the back of an amazing weekend. Who was at the Signs and Wonders conference last weekend? It was so good to have John and Ellie Mumford. And we're in for another treat this week. We have Tom Thompson, and together with Leslie, and you've got four sons. Three of them are here this weekend. They lead the Croydon Vineyard, which, if you don't know Croydon, is anyone from London here? Two of you. Josh was born in Greenwich and lived there for a month or something, so he's a Londoner. So Croydon's about 12 miles south of London city centre, and they also area lead for the Vineyard movement, and Tom's also on the national leadership team. And we want to say a massive thank you. Coming up, investing in us, imparting wisdom and life to us. The first service was amazing, incredible message. And so we know you're going to be blessed. And so let's welcome Tom as he comes to share God's word.
Good morning. I want to just say that we've had an amazing chance to get to know John and Joni, particularly over this last weekend. And look, if you're new to this place, you should know you've made great choice. These guys are wonderful, wonderful people as senior pastors. They just exude love for you, love for Hull. Like, it's something that's so, their heart is so big for this city, and their love for Jesus. It's infectious, isn't it? Aren't they just amazing? I honestly, it's been a real treat. So let's give them a round of applause. It's a treat for me to be in Hull. My parents met at Scarborough North Bay Beach Mission 50 years ago. And we used to spend every summer, Easter and Christmas holiday, they were teachers. We spent 2 weeks, 6 weeks a year in Scarborough, near P-Zone Park. So to get to come back to Yorkshire is a real treat. And to see such a thriving Vineyard church in this place is just, honestly, what is going on here is something that is special. Sometimes you're in it and you don't realize it, but this is a special thing that God is doing. And so I want to say it's a joy to be here. We're going to begin and read really from 1 Kings chapter 19. It's an Old Testament book. It tells a story about a guy called Elijah. Let's jump into it. Now, King Ahab told his wife Jezebel everything Elijah had done, and how he'd killed all her prophets of Baal with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me be ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and he ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. Anyone ever prayed that prayer? "I've had enough, Lord. Push everyone away, get on your own, I've had enough, Lord." He said, "Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." He lay down under the bush and he fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank, and strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. Can you say Horeb? The mountain of God. There he went into a cave and he spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And Elijah replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." And the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart, shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper. That's a Hebrew word that's hard to translate, you know. It could mean like a resonating silence, a gentle whisper. It's unclear exactly how to translate that word. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and he went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too." And the Lord says to him, "Go back, anoint Hazael, anoint Jehu, anoint Elisha, son of Nimshi." And so off he goes. I want to talk to you about encounter. Encounter with God. I believe God is inviting many of us in this room. I changed the talk. I was going to talk on something else, but just yesterday I just had such a strong conviction that God wants to use this church to invite people in this room today afresh to a deep and profound encounter with him for the sake of you and for the sake of this nation. You see, the scriptures tell us at the beginning of this book, in the Genesis chapter 1, that God made the earth with human life and the life of God entwined like two hands interlocked. Just take one hand, put the other hand in it and interlock them. That's what the life of people on this earth should have been like. That's how it was in the Garden of Eden. Human life, going about gardening, naming things, discovering stuff, making family, growing community, expanding the borders, all these things about human life, whatever you do for your living, whatever your work looks like in the week, that was designed by God as human life to be entwined like fingers interlocked with the life of God. And God walked around in the garden with human beings in the cool of the day, and he spoke with them, and they could access constantly and permanently all the resources and all the goodness, all the wisdom, all the joy, all the rest and the shalom of God. They could constantly access the life of God in human life all the time. But in Genesis 3, the scriptures tell us that Adam and Eve said, actually, what we want to do is explore life and find life our own way. We want to decide how we do life. And they said, we want to basically detangle ourselves, unwrap our life from the life of God, that we would do our own thing. And God, in his grace and in his willingness to empower humanity, said, okay, I will allow you to have your own way of doing life. But he looked on with sadness and sorrow in his heart as he saw that the life of God, separate from him, would always find things to replace him, idols or things, and it would always be kind of a sucked out life, like a life that isn't as it should be. And so God would hover above the earth, looking in and looking on, and saying, I want to find again who are those who I can release an encounter into, that my life, rather than entangling all of humanity, can be like a pointed finger touching down, concentrated form, to release who I am and what I have for all humanity into this one individual. And he does it all through the Old Testament. He does it to Abraham. He approaches him at the Oak of Mamre. He does it to Jacob. He wrestles him by a river. He does it to Joseph. He speaks to him in dreams. He does it to Moses in a burning bush. Over and over and over again, God looks and he sees and he watches for a heart that has a yearning for the life of God to come and touch it. And he brings encounter to those individuals. And he says, through this moment of encounter, I will make you alive. I will rehabilitate you. I'll release meaning and purpose and calling and anointing onto your life, that your life now can begin to release the life of God across your community. And some of you are here today, I'm convinced of this, you're hungry for a fresh encounter with God. Some of you are here today, you've never really known the life of God touch you in a profound, transformative way. And today's a day you can have that happen for you. And some of you are here and you've been living a life of God, for God, and to some extent with God, but you just recognize, I need a fresh encounter. I just need a fresh encounter for you, God. The good news is God is watching. He's looking. His yearning to release encounter on you is greater than your yearning for him to give you encounter. Because he's the God who will never give up on this creation that he's made. He loves and he's for it. So let's just pull out from this passage some things about encounter. And the first thing, quite surprisingly, is that God gifts encounter to people who are tasting death. God gifts encounter to people who are tasting death. Did you notice where Elijah was spending the night on the mountain? It was on a cave. He was in a cave. Elijah spends the night in a cave. In those days, a cave was a burial place. It was like a tombstone. It was like the place you put the dead bodies, in the cave. And so Elijah spending the night in a cave is like a symbol of somebody tasting death. I mean, he said it, didn't he? He said, take my life. I don't want any more. He's dry. He's burnt out. He's weary. He feels like he can't carry on. He's done. Anybody ever been in that place? Pessimistic, unsure, lacking hope. And God comes to him and speaks to him. And he says to him, get yourself on the mountain. Because the presence of the Lord is about to pass by. Get yourself on the mountain. The presence of the Lord is about to pass by. You see, God's solution to humans who are tasting death is not that they go on a nice holiday or they have some time off. Those are wonderful things. God's solution to humans tasting death is get yourself on the mountain that the presence of the Lord can pass by. Just turn yourself to the neighbor and just say, do you want to get on that mountain? Do you want to get on that mountain? See, some of you are here, let's be honest about this. Some of you are here and you're really tired. Some of you are here and you're really tired. Let's be honest, all you can feel in your being is how tired you are. And what the Lord says to you is, get yourself on the mountain. Because the presence of the Lord is going to pass by. The truth is, some of you are here and what you honestly feel about your life is you've messed it up. You're just sick of how you keep making decisions that end up being so destructive for yourself. You're feeling a conviction or a guilt over your sin, over the things you've done wrong. And what the Lord says to you is, get yourself on the mountain, because the presence of the Lord is going to pass by. Some of you are here and you're carrying pain in your being. You just wake up and there's pain. Pain in your body, pain in your relationships. Sickness, mental health challenges. Get yourself on the mountain, because the presence of the Lord is going to pass by. God is looking and watching, and his yearning is that he can release an encounter into those who are tasting death. Are you tasting death? God's yearning is to release encounter, to rehabilitate, to bring life, to bring hope, to bring anointing, to get you on the path he made you for. God gifts encounter to people who are tasting death, but he comes to you. If you're tasting death, you do need to get yourself on the mountain. This is really important to understand what it means to get yourself on the mountain so the presence of the Lord can pass by. Because if you think about Elijah, Elijah was a man of God. He was known as somebody who was a man of God, but that wasn't enough. That didn't get him the encounter. Elijah was a man who'd given himself to the mission of God. He went around his nation doing the mission of God, but that wasn't enough. That didn't get him to the encounter. Elijah was a man who had success in the ministry of God, but success in the ministry of God wasn't enough. It didn't get him to encounter. Elijah had even received miracles from God. An angel had fed him. I mean, who's got that as a story of a miracle? An angel had fed him twice. But even that wasn't enough. You see, the truth is, in our day as human beings, so often we can think, well, look, I'm a man of God, or I've done the mission of God, or I'm in the ministry of God, or even had miracles from God. But God says, no, you need to get on the mountain. You need to make yourself available to the Lord that he can pass by. The truth of the Vineyard movement, this is a Vineyard church. And the Vineyard movement began with people who said, we're tired, we're dry. We thought all this was about was us doing the ministry of God or being called Christians or trying to be nice people and trying to do good things. And maybe even occasionally we'd see a miracle. We think that's what it's all about. And they said, but that's not enough. And they just began to say, we make space for you, Jesus. We need a touch of you. We just want to sing to you. We just want to receive from you. We want you. God is looking. God is watching. God is wanting those who are not satisfied with these things, but they want him. If you want him, you say, God, I want you. That's how you get on the mountain. Not to just occupy yourself with the busyness of these things, but God. God, I want you. A friend of mine I just was meeting with for Nando's this week. We've become friends over the last year or so. He was the manager of artists coming into Abbey Road Studios and had a really great career. Really great life, and then his marriage just out of nowhere just totally blew up in a really horrible way for him and his kids and his wife, and he was just so broke, like kind of everything fell apart in his life. And his sister, who came to our church, invited him to come to our church. He'd never been to our church before. She invited him to come to our church. And he sat in one of the services, and just gradually, over a period of weeks and months, he began to get to the place where he said, I always thought maybe I was a Christian, and I've kind of done some nice things, and I feel like I've tried to be a good person, and I feel like sometimes I've even like attended church and tried to do good stuff, but I recognize I've never actually truly had an encounter with God. I want that. And he looked at me and a little tear rolled down his eyes and said, in the last year, my whole life has been changed by God himself coming to me. It's been the hardest and worst year of my life, but God has got me through. He's got me through. And he said, and something in me has shifted, and he's decided actually that what God is calling him to, in these moments of encounter, God has spoken to him. He said, I'm calling you to change career. He's training now to be a lawyer, that he can be in family law and he can be present as a light and a hope to those who are going through the horror of divorce like he went through, that he can be present to serve them. That's what encounter's like. To say, yes, God, I seek you. And when he begins to speak, okay, I'll follow. You see, encounter feels like meeting the God of the old in a new way that's intensely personal for you. See, Elijah would have known the story of God's creation, where a powerful wind was hovering over. There was like a ruach of God was over the deep, and it created God by the wind, or the Spirit of God created all of the heavens and the earth. And there's a powerful wind that he has on the mountain, and he realizes he's connecting into the same God who made all that stuff. But he realizes that in this moment, the power of God, the presence of God, is not in the same thing. And Elijah knows of how at Mount Sinai, God created the people of Israel, and he shook the mountain. He shook it with an earthquake and with lightning. And he's on a mountain, and there's earthquake and lightning. He realizes this is the same God who created and made the people, kingdom and priests, on the mountain of Sinai. But God is not doing the same thing in Elijah. He's not in the earthquake. And Elijah sees a fire. And he knows that Moses was called, had an encounter with fire of a bush that burned but would not burn up. And he realizes this is the same God who called Moses, but God is not for me in this fire. There's something, a resounding silence. Something happens, intensely personal for Elijah. He knows it's the same God of old, who made all things, who's been overseeing human history, who's been writing a story of redemption through individuals, through encounters, all the time since the beginning of the fall. And yet he knows it's personal and it's new and it's fresh for him. Just this last summer, we've been leading a church, Lizzie and I, for 12 and a half years, planted the church just in our living room. Just a small team of 7 or 8 of us. And just seeking to serve God and do the mission of God and ministry of God. And just this last summer, I just got to the point, I'm tired, Lord. You know, you kind of just can go through the motions, can't you? You know that? You're just in worship. You can just go through the motions. And I was like, Lord, I don't want to just go through these motions. I need a fresh encounter that's deeply personal for me. It's not crisis point yet, but it could get to crisis point if I don't get that encounter. And I just said, Lord, we went on holiday. We had 4 weeks off as a family. We just had to take some time, just to take the time away, be off. And just, I would just sit there in the mornings. And normally I love to be busy, I love to do things. And so after a few days of this, Leslie would say to me, what are you doing, Tom? And I'd be like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm trying to get on the mountain that the presence of the Lord would pass by. And somehow, I don't even know what happened, but somehow the presence of God came. He wasn't in this great shake. It wasn't like this profound and radical, incredible moment that was visible to others, but somehow, in the midst of that quiet, God did something that's deep, enigmatic, difficult to describe, but something so profound shifted within me. You see, the truth is that when God comes, it doesn't always change your circumstances. An encounter can radically transform everything around you, but it doesn't always. When God comes, he asks Elijah a question and Elijah gives an answer to the question. Did you notice that in the text? What are you doing here, Elijah? Oh, everybody's bad. I'm on my own and it's all terrible. Encounter with God. What are you doing here, Elijah? Oh, I'm on my own. It's all terrible. Same question. Same answer. But in between these two things, that almost like takes a little while to go off within Elijah's being. An encounter has taken place that has shifted something deep inside. After the week or two of just sitting and feeling like something, I just needed the presence of the Lord to come. I just began to look and I just saw a bird flying in the sky and just was suddenly just unbelievably grateful for a bird. I mean, how many birds must I have seen in my life? What? So just a tear began to come to my eye. A bird, the beauty of this bird, that God would have made creation like this for us. And just everywhere I looked, I just began to think, oh, my wife looks more beautiful. Oh, this food tastes so good. Just, there wasn't a profound change to circumstances, and yet something had shifted deep within in this encounter moment. Some of you are here and you need that. We're going to give her a chance to receive it from the Lord in a moment in this service, and I'm going to give you a couple of things that you could consider doing to seek encounter after this time. Final thing about encounter is this. Encounter is like a cup being filled with oil. It's like a cup being filled with oil. In this moment of encounter, it's almost like God, as he hovers and watches, he has like an oil of his presence so he can pour out on you. And he says, here you go, Elijah. I pour out my oil on you now. You go and pour the oil out on Elijah. Go pour out the oil on Jehu. Go pour out the oil on Hazael. If you know, if you've really met with the Lord, when you begin to know, oh, I've got something to give, to invest in, to empower, to anoint this person, Maybe you're a parent. You get a fresh sense of, I can pour out the oil of anointing on my kids. I've got fresh resources to invest in them. Maybe you're in your workplace. Oh, I've got a sense, fresh sense of purpose and vision and power to bring something into this context. Maybe it's your neighborhood. Maybe it's in this church. Maybe it's just across any part of your life. Something about encounter is like your cup being filled with the oil of God that then you can go and anoint others that they can step into their destiny. Get yourself on the mountain. 800 years later, this book is full of crazy things. This is one of the craziest of them all. 800 years later, Elijah pops up again on another mountain. On this mountain, he's there, and over him he looks across, and there's Moses there as well. And there's a cloud in front of them, and before Elijah and before Moses, there's this one man standing there, and they just begin to talk to him. It's like, what's this all about? And a voice comes from the heavens and said, this man in front of you, he is my son whom I love, with him I'm well pleased. What the voice is saying is the life of humanity and the life of God is now permanently rejoined through this one man in front of you. It's no longer God just hovering above and watching and occasionally putting in a moment of encounter. Now encounter can permanently be accessed through this one guy. This is the son, Jesus is his name. Elijah got that gift. Moses got that gift. And Peter, as he was up on the mountain, sees this moment taking place. And he then goes from there. And his message that formed the foundation of the church, of which we are the gloriously grateful recipients, his message was this: get yourself in the proximity of Jesus. Trust Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 1, he talks about it. On that glorious mountain, he said, we heard the voice tell us, it's Jesus, it's Jesus. Never doubt, it's Jesus. And Peter then goes a few months later. He hears Jesus say to him, I want you to go to this guy's house. He's a Roman soldier, one of the enemies of Peter and his people. And Jesus said, I want you to go there. I want you to go here, and I want you to release an anointing of my presence. And so Peter steps foot into the household of Cornelius, a Roman of Romans. And even as he's speaking, Jesus himself pours out the oil of the Holy Spirit upon Cornelius and his household. And the Gentile church, of which most of us are probably part, is birthed. You see, in this age, what we discover is the update on what Elijah had is get yourself on the mountain, is go and seek the Lord and make space for the Lord, is say, I'm not satisfied with all these things. I want you, God. But we do that now through the proximity of Jesus and through receiving the Holy Spirit afresh. And so I just want to finish with this. I have a funny feeling that God is looking and has seen the hearts of many in this room. He's seen that some of you are tasting death and you feel like you're spending a night in the cave. He's seen that some of you are hungry for a fresh encounter with him. He's seen that some of you are ready and willing not just to accept this stuff, but you really want him. I have a funny feeling that a bucket of oil is waiting above this room to be poured out for the anointing of many in this city. So will you get yourself on the mountain? Will you put yourself in the proximity of Jesus? Would you allow his presence, his spirit, to be poured out on you afresh?
Thank you for listening to the Hall Vineyard podcast. We would love to connect with you and welcome you home to church. To find out more, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/connect. And stay up to date with all that is going on in the life of our church, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/church news and sign up for our weekly mailing. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you soon.